All right, Alexander, let's talk about Nord Stream 2. You have an update as to what's going on there. So what's the latest news?
It's all been very interesting. Nord Stream 2, let's remember, is this gas pipeline that the Germans and the Russians have agreed that will be providing Russian gas directly to Germany. It's been hugely controversial. Many European governments feel unhappy about the fact that Germany is becoming the great hub within the European Union for receiving Russian gas. The Germans have also made it sure that it would not be subject to the third energy package, which is the regulatory package of the European Union to decide how gas pipelines should operate and who should own them. It's supposed to be an anti-monopoly measure. The United States doesn't like it because it sees this as increasing Russian influence in Europe. And countries like Poland, Ukraine, and all those countries don't like it because they see the end of their role as transit states, countries where across which gas from Russia has to pass in order to reach Europe. So there's been a huge amount of opposition to this pipeline from all sorts of people, but the Germans and the Russians have stuck with it closely. Now, a few months ago, as we remember, just as about, you know, the very last stretch of the pipeline under the sea was about to be laid, the United States slapped sanctions on all of the companies that were involved in laying it. The Swiss company, which were the pipe layers, pulled out and work came to a stop. Anyway, what has now happened is two things. Firstly, the Russians, who always said that, you know, if the Swiss company didn't continue with the pipe laying, they would complete it by themselves. They have now redeployed from the far east of Russia a pipe laying ship, which has the necessary technology to lay the pipes and to do so in accordance with the requirements of the Danish regulator, under whose waters this pipe must pass. That is now in position. It's ready to start work. But there was another thing. There was a legal complication. There was another attempt to try to bring the pipeline under the ambit of the EU gas regulatory system. The German regulator first said, yes, it does fall within this regulatory system, but then it promptly and almost immediately granted the Nord Stream 2 companies, the holding company that runs this thing, what was called a derogation. So in effect, it can proceed in accordance with the original legal structure that was set up before all this EU regulatory framework was brought into play. So Nord Stream 2 is going to be finished. It's going to be finished by the Russians. It's going to be finished in accordance with the original ownership plan that Putin and Merkel and the Russians and the Germans agreed with each other. All the attempts to stop it have managed to slow it down by a year, but they have not brought it to an end.
When is it going to be finished again?
It'll be finished either at the end of this year or perhaps at the end of the beginning of next year, at which point the gas will start transferring through Russia, from Russia to Germany. So Germany will then become the major hub in Northern Europe for Russian gas.
Has the CV slowed anything down, or will it slow it down?
No, it hasn't slowed it down at all. In fact, I think this is an important point to make. Russian oil and gas output actually increased in April, despite the CV crisis. It was slightly up and apparently will continue to be. And the big companies that are involved in producing, in laying these pipes and doing all that kind of work, they're not affected by CV. It seems all of their workers are regularly tested, and they have all kinds of protective equipment to make sure that, you know, they're not affected by the infections. So it will not affect or delay it in any way at all. They get to just push on. Can I say, I think the game plan was to try to sanction Nord Stream 2 perhaps without realizing that this Russian pipeline ship would take, that the Russians had this pipeline ship, which is capable of meeting the requirements of the Danish regulator, and also perhaps gambling that the German regulator would not provide this derogation. But in the event the Russians do have that ship, the German regulator did provide that derogation. The German government is clearly committed to this deal. The Russian government is clearly committed to this deal. I don't see how anything can stop it now.
All right, so bad news for Ukraine, bad news for the East Med and what's going on there with the East Med gas ambitions, or what's the geopolitical map look like now with this pipeline coming into effect?
The big loser is Ukraine, because of course the Ukraine has relied on Russian gas passing through Ukraine to provide it both with political leverage as a transit state and also with the transit fees which the Russians provide pay to Ukraine for Ukraine allowing the gas to pass through their territory. So they're going to lose that. There will still be Russian gas passing through Ukraine, but nothing like in the quantities that were the case before. And I can't help but think anyway that that's going to start to slacken off, because you're going to have Russian pipeline gas coming through Nord Stream 2 to Germany. You're going to have Russian pipeline gas passing through Turkey, through the Turk Stream pipeline, which is now operating. And of course, the other thing which people overlook is that you're also going to get Russian liquefied natural gas, which is now coming from the north of Russia to Europe that way also. And that apparently competes very well on price with US gas. So I think that the days of Ukraine as an important transit state are going fast. And I think that is something that the Ukrainians need to try to adjust to and work towards. I maintain my view that though I suspect Nord Stream 2 will be the last of these pipelines to be built, I think that the days when Ukraine will be a transit state of any sort at all are coming to an end.
Well, how does Ukraine adjust to this? Does that mean you don't adjust to this, do you?
I would well, the first thing it must do is make peace with Russia. I mean, that is its economic imp that is the economic imperative. It needs to resume trading links with Russia because its industries, which were its other big exporter, are directed towards Russia. One of the things that Ukrainians have found is that their expectations that they would be able to sell food to the European Union, and that this would somehow offset the loss of their export markets to Russia. That hasn't been realized because the European Union is not buying Ukrainian agricultural products. The Ukrainians have actually asked for amendments to the association agreement that they actually concluded with the EU, which was the start of all of this crisis back in 2000, 2000, 2013, 2014, to enable them to provide more food products to the European Union. It doesn't seem as if the European Union is interested. So they've got to make some very difficult calculations, but already their economy is in a bad way. It's going to get worse unless and until they start adjusting to the underlying geopolitical realities. Ukraine has been on a flight from reality for the last 6 years. I mean, it is now running out of road.
And what about finally the East Med? How does Nord Stream 2 factor in with the East Med competition? Or it's not
Well,
competition. One's
I
just
didn't think
tiny, the other one's huge.
well, it's not tiny. I think it's big, and I think it has a place, and I think it will provide gas, because of course the European Union doesn't want to be just dependent on Russian gas. In fact, the entire political imperative is that it shouldn't be. So I think that will go ahead, and I think there is a role for it, but Russian gas will remain dominant in the European gas market for the foreseeable future.
And I think the East Med is not going to be coming online for a while. And then, of course, you have all the tensions with what's going on with Turkey there. And
indeed. Greece. And the fact Greece and
Libya border, as well.
Libya as well. I mean, and I've been hearing news about border clashes between Turkey and Greece, or at least not clashes exactly, but anyway, Turkish movements.
It's a distraction. It's a distraction for Erdogan. It's just
I agree. I agree. I don't think actually this is going to be a. I don't think the completion of Nord Stream 2 will kill the East Med projects. I think they will be realised and they will be achieved, but they're not going to change the energy balance in Europe decisively. Bear in mind that gas from Norway is starting to decline, gas from the Netherlands and Britain is starting to decline. So there's going to be more room anyway within the European gas market for gas from all sorts of places. So, you know, I think that there is a place for it. I don't think Nord Stream 2 really competes directly with this.
All right. Alexander Merkurs, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button, smash that like, donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. And also look for this channel on iTunes and SoundCloud for an audio copy. And go to the Durant Shop, pick up some t-shirts, magic mugs, and polo shirts.
Magic mugs, the best magic mugs anywhere. The most amazing mugs. I have been saying since we started to do our shop, that these are the best mugs in the world. And I've just received a whole, you know, lot of comments from buyers and viewers telling us exactly the same thing. And in fact, I've even started to see comments picking up on our threads about them. They are the best mugs. I mean, and once again, Alex and I have the same one. Perhaps because this is, at the moment, the sort of default mug. It's such an elegant mug, with the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation there, and it's beautiful and clean and strong as a mug ought to be, and as all our mugs are. So, best mugs in the world, complementing the best shirts in the world, best polo shirts you will find. They are absolutely amazing and stylish, 100% cotton, all of them, incredibly hard-wearing, beautiful to wear, and the best t-shirts. Also 100% cotton, also incredibly hard wearing and stylish, marvelous shirts, both short sleeved and long sleeved, all with a double headed eagle of the Durant, as you can see there, which is different from the Russian one. And we don't just have t-shirts and polo shirts, we also have V-neck shirts, and we have hats, hoodies, and stickers. And we've also got ebooks on topics like Brexit and Epstein and Russiagate and Ukrainegate, and of course oil, which is related to the topic we've just been talking about now. So you can find all of these things on our shop. We are under always so much pressure from YouTube. I mean, people have noticed how, you know, we have to fight for every subscriber we get, and how we lose subscribers because people are desubscribed. So we have to constantly fight for every subscriber by coming to our shop. You give us your support. You enable us to keep going, to provide you with the kind of analysis we've just done on this program. And of course, you become the owner of these great products. So come to our shop, support the Durant, be the owner of these great products, help us to provide you with this wonderful analysis, and Alex will just tell you how.
Just go to thedurantshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Merkurs, thank you very much. Till next time, everybody, take care.